This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Health Matters. We've got Philippa in the studio with us today, and I believe we're talking about body composition today. Is that correct?
Yeah, thanks, Jill. Yes, so measuring what your body is made of. So it's more than about your weight or your body mass index, which are some of the more commonly used measures, I guess. And yeah. I was finding that for clients, first of all, yeah, scales weren't intended to be a big part of my practice, I guess. So I work more around people's whole health, overall health, rather than just their weight. But some people were struggling with not shifting the weight when they wanted to or how they wanted to. Some people concerned about their bone density and different parts of what is their body made of. So as we age, we tend to lose bone density, but you can only have so many bone density scans because x-rays, so they're not great for us. So for all these reasons, I finally took the plunge and got some scales that do all of our composition. So looking at our overall weight, but breaking that down into different body parts. So what's in our torso, what's in our arms and our legs. And looking at muscle mass, fat and water. And the water is what's inside our cells and also what's outside of our cells. So having that difference helps us tell a lot more about it, the state of our health. So as we age, our cell walls tend to be less robust, I guess. So we can tend to have cells that are a bit more sad and flat rather than nice, juicy ones. So this measurement will tell us kind of what age our cells are looking like and just how well they are. So the initial uses for this machine was in hospitals, looking at recovery for people that have been through surgery. And since then, they've used it a lot in diagnostics of various diseases. And for me, it's around what's this information that I can give you that can help me target the things that we need to do to make sure that you've got the best body composition you can have for your age and that you retain that for longer than most of us do. So as we age, our body muscle tends to reduce and our fat, unfortunately, can increase. And particularly if we're carrying that around our internal organs, that can have a big impact on our health. So we need to watch not only how much fat we have, but where it is on our body. And this device can help tell that. So much more useful than just, this is your weight and this is what you are. So it's giving me a lot more information about you and how I can help you. So the other piece that it can tell us about is our bone density. And I have a number of older clients that are concerned about their bone density because, you know, again, that decreases as we age and some people are more susceptible to that bone loss than others. And, yeah, just I think I mentioned that, yeah, the usual scanning of that is not that safe for us. So this is just a very gentle current going through from our hands to our feet as you stand on the scales. And unless you have a pacemaker, there's absolutely no risk. So I will be checking with clients if they've got any devices in their body, but otherwise, you know, it's very simple. You can repeat it frequently without any cumulative effects, so very safe. It is, I guess, useful to have a benchmark. So what's our body currently? And then we can monitor it from there. So if we're trying to change our muscle mass or our fat, we can watch that progression. And if our weight's changing, we can see which parts of it are changing. So a lot of people in the first month or so of a diet might lose a lot of fluid, but not necessarily that fat. So just being aware of that can help indicate perhaps stepping up the exercise as well as changing foods and also maintaining that fluid intake just to make sure that you're not getting dehydrated. So, yeah, there are many, many bits to just making sure that we have all the right balance, the bits that we need to keep us going through each age and stage. And one of the curious things I was reading about recently, there's been research, so they had a paradox. So obese people recovering from cancer, and some did really well and others didn't, and they were trying to figure out what the difference was. And they found that it was the people that were doing really well might have been high on the BMI, so called obese, but they actually had really good muscle mass. And our muscle is a source, it's our storage of protein that we can use to rebuild healthy cells when we're recovering from illness or even to the point of cancer. So, yeah, just understanding that and just seeing what can we do to make sure that we stay in that high muscle mass, lower fat, but the right amount of fat for our body protection is a really valuable tool.
So you said earlier when you're talking about the scales that, you know, you could, I guess your body could be older than it is. If it is, like say your cells are a bit older than they should be, is there a way that we can fix it to get back to the age that we actually are? Or once you lose the cells,
yeah,
like strength, is it gone?
Good question. So there are anecdotal studies, I guess, of the measurements for that. So it's called phase angle, of actually increasing those measurements. So the top is 10 and the bottom is 0. So if we're at 0, we're pretty much carked it. But at 10, we're really good, youthful and positive. So, yes, and part of that is our antioxidants, so reducing inflammation. It might be about our omega-3s, which are essential for our cell walls. Even cholesterol, you know, is part of our cellular structure. So making sure we've got all of those things in balance, and people can actually climb those charts again. And one of the other age measures is it gives you a metabolic age, which is, I guess, how much muscle mass you have in relation to the fat. So as I said, we tend to lose muscle, gain fat, but if we're actually tipping the scales going the other way, then it can give us a metabolic age that's actually lower than our actual chronological age. And I'm very pleased to say that I have seen evidence of that. So I used one of these scales many moons ago and was happy that, hey, I'm a couple of years younger than I could be, and currently I'm doing even better. So yeah, again, with looking at exercise and foods, you can make a big difference. So it's not just you're stuck with where you're at, you can actually make positive changes. And even if you're just keeping on a par, at least you're not sliding, you know. You can measure where you're at and just monitor that.
Can you run into the same pitfalls with other scales where you can weigh yourself too much? Like, can you fall into the same pitfall with these? Are you getting on too often?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and even within a day, you know, if we're regularly measuring, it should be at the same time of day, and have you just had a big drink or had exercise, all those sorts of things, because that will change your numbers. So keeping consistency around doing that. But I think you can get fluctuations on a daily basis because of what we've eaten the day before or how much exercise we've had, what we've slept like the previous night. So I think, you know, maybe a month apart for this kind of measurement is probably more useful than a weekly one. And for some people it might be, if they're just monitoring where they're at long term, it might be an annual part of their checkup rather than somebody who's on a big mission to make big changes in a couple of months, or they're trying out for an event, or, you know, often it's the wedding or some celebration that they want to make changes for, then you might want to do monthly or 3 weeks or something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't be stepping on the scales every day. I think we can get a bit paranoid with that sort of measurement. Yeah.
I think we can also become a bit too obsessed with numbers.
Yes.
I think, and you lose sight of the overall goal, and all you look at is that number that's staring at you.
Yeah, and that's right. It's just one of the many measures. So how are you actually feeling? Are you still happy? Are you able to get up in the morning and feel like you've got energy to get through the day? All of those things are just as important as the number on the scales, even with more detailed scales.
So have you found using them, I'm assuming you've use them a few times, that there's a common kind of thread coming out of people's reactions to what they see? Are people generally a bit surprised by what they see, or happy, or
quite mixed? So I've seen some young people that are a little bit shocked, that their metabolic age is actually older than they are. And, you know, I think rather than judging them for that, it's like acknowledging they have office jobs where they're sitting a lot, and our whole work-life balance has changed a lot. But if it's just about raising their awareness, then, you know, it might be just about parking a little bit further from the office so you get a few more steps getting to work and going home again, or just changing a few key things that can help you reduce that aging process and get you a bit more muscle back in there. And, yeah, some older people with pleasant surprises. So, yeah, it does vary. And some people just still don't want to measure, and that's entirely okay. It's a tool that's available to them if they want to go down that path, if they find it useful, motivational to have a starting place and know where they want to get to. And then I can help with them with the tools to get there. So, yeah.
I know I did a brain test once to see how old my brain was. It's shockingly old.
It could be a sign of wisdom, Jill.
It could be. It was sluggish. I blame the day for being sluggish, but I have a feeling I'd be older than I am on the scales as well. But that's because I have the mentality of there's always tomorrow to start taking care of myself. Like, I don't have to worry just yet.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if a few young people think like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the advantage of youth.
Yeah. And then one day, though, we're going to get to a point where we're going to be like, oh, I may have left it a little bit late.
Yeah. And look, I totally agree with that. We can just put our head in the sand for a while, and it often takes a crunch point and something goes wrong with our health, and then we go, oh, yeah, actually, I'm not invincible anymore. Yeah, so it varies when we come to that point. And I still have clients who say, I know I need to make these changes, but I'd rather have, you know, aches and pains then go through all the changes that I need to make. So, you know, it's about me finding what's the compromise that we can find so that your life is livable as you want to have it, but you're also keeping the best health, you know, finding that balance that you want. Yeah.
Do you help people with exercise, kind of like ideas and plans and stuff? Just because I know for me, the exercise I like doing, I can't at the moment because it's a bit too painful, but I'm a bit reluctant to do something low impact because to me that's not exercise. So if someone came in and they're like, oh yeah, we want to, but we can't, say, run or whatever due to an injury,
yeah,
do you help with different ideas and suggestions?
Yeah, I'm not an exercise person, so I'll often refer on, but I can definitely give some places to refer to, or just some ideas. You know, you don't have to be a runner. Walking is great, and you know, for a young person that might seem a bit lame, but you know, it's good for us on so many levels. It's not just about burning energy. It's about getting outside. It's stimulating circulation in our body. So many, many things that we get benefit from any sort of movement. For some people, it might be trying yoga, you know, something really gentle. But it's surprising how much muscle you're building just by holding your body in different ways. So your own body weight becomes the resistance. And we can get strength, stability, flexibility from yoga, tai chi, a number of things. Yeah.
So I tried yoga once. I did not realise how hard it would be. I was so tired and so sweaty by the end. I was like, but to me, it still wasn't, I didn't think, oh, that was a good workout. I was like, that's weird. Like, why am I so tired and sweaty? And it wasn't until a few days later that I thought, well, actually, holding a stretch is quite hard work.
Yeah, I get that too. And going to the gym, I've recently had some advice from a trainer there, and they gave me like 3 or 4 exercises, and I was like, is that it? But actually, the workout is quite positive. You don't have to be sweating everything out and, you know, taking up half your day to increase your fitness. It can just be step by step.
I like reading my books, and my old personal trainer used to give me exercises where I could still read my book and do stuff, because he knew that if I had to choose between the two, I would probably choose reading
the book.
So do things you can
Yeah.
There's always a way you can fit in what you love with what you need to do.
Absolutely. And that's the best exercise, is the one that you can actually keep doing. Because if you're just going to do it for 2 weeks and then stop because you don't enjoy it, then it's not really going to work for you.
It's not going to be a long-term change, is it?
No, no. So either finding a social circle that works for you to exercise, or, you know, we're so lucky now, we've got podcasts or music that we can play constantly while we're exercising, so we don't have to be bored.
You can have audiobooks and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, quite good.
Yeah.
So do you, with the going back to the scales, in a standard appointment now, are they part of it, or are they kind of like an extra?
It's going to be extra, because I just acknowledging that some people just don't want to go there, they're not ready for that. So I'm not going to say you have to have this. But it might be saying, well, you know, see how you go without this. If we're not making the progress that we want, maybe you can try that next time when you come in. So, yeah, it'll be an add-on, yeah.
Yeah, and so people don't feel like they have to do it.
No, no. There's very little of my work that's a have to. I might encourage a little bit here and there where I think people really aren't going to see the results if they don't do something, but... Yeah, it's very much, yeah, my client is my focus, so that they get what they need for them.
Yeah, and I'm guessing everyone's completely different as well.
Yeah, and that's why we need to break things down a little bit, so our body weight doesn't say much about who we are or, you know, what we are. It's more about what else is going on inside. Yeah,
and as we were discussing off air, like the BMI doesn't actually tell us anything at all. And I mean, two people with the same BMI could be completely different.
Yeah, so some of our best New Zealand athletes are considered obese because they have so much mass for their height, but it's muscle, it's not fat.
And muscle's quite heavy. Well, that's what I've been told, muscle's heavier than fat.
Yeah, and yeah it's just completely different structure. So, And it's actually one of the things, part of having a good muscle mass means that we can continue our level of eating. So, you know, I have a lot of people that, you know, maybe hit their 40s or sometimes a little bit later and just say, I'm eating the same stuff, but I'm putting on weight. And it can be just that transition to you haven't got the muscle mass to be burning off those calories anymore. So if you can get your muscle mass back up, then the weight loss can be a little bit easier.
Is there I won't say easier, but is there a best way to build muscle mass other than just going hard at the gym on all the weight machines? Like, are there other ways to build up your muscle mass?
Look, any movement, the more we can get out of our chair, the better. I don't think we're designed to be sitting as much as we do. So even having a standing desk or one that you can adjust so you can sit for part of the day, stand for part of the day, to be able to fidget every so often or go for a walk to the printer or whatever it is that gets you moving more is going to be strengthening your muscles and building them up. So just being immobile is the worst thing that we can do for our muscles.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of us sit for our jobs. We sit in a car to get to work. We sit on the couch when we get home. There's a lot of sitting in
There's
our day,
isn't there?
There's
an awful lot of sitting. Yeah. So, finding things to do, you know, whether it's flexing your ankle, joints or, some sort of arm exercises while you're sitting at your desk.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can Google and they give you like 20 stretches to do every 20 minutes or something at your desk.
Yeah.
I had a job once where they actually made us do that. It was weird the first few times, but you kind of got to a point where you liked the looking away from the screen, taking that pause.
Yes.
And you'd be a bit more productive afterwards
because
you stopped just staring and sitting there doing nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the other side of it is, are you getting enough protein and good protein to actually build that muscle? So if we're only eating carbs, yes, good energy to burn sort of thing, but we're not actually feeding our muscle material. So
because I'm pretty clueless on what food contains what. What are some good protein foods?
Right.
Or common protein foods?
Yeah, so your meat is the obvious one, I guess, for a lot of people. But if you're looking at reducing meat content in your diet, then fish, chicken, eggs, dairy products, So your cheese, not so much butter, it's more fat than protein. And then in your plants, looking at your peas and beans, and that includes all your chickpeas, your lentils, all your dried beans. Nuts and seeds are a great source of protein. And even some of your grains, so your whole grain rice, wheat is high in protein. That's the gluten is the protein.
That's the one thing I can't have.
Yeah, so when you're taking that out, we need to make sure that you're putting some back in. But
I actually do pretty good. I eat quite a bit that was on your list. If you'd asked me before, I would have said, no, I don't get much protein in my diet. But I think I actually do.
Yeah. So some people are surprised. And I think, just understanding our food better is a good starting place. So it's often, for me, is an educational role as much as anything. Yeah.
And so, before we knew... mentioned omega-3s are good for the cell thing. So in my family, we talk about chocolate fish as being our omega-3s. And I was thinking, oh, I get lots of those. And I was like, oh, no, wait.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe they don't quite count.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be fish. So again, some of your nuts and seeds. So hemp seed is one of the ones that's kind of coming into the fore a little bit more. But linseed, walnuts, chia seed, good omegas in those. So it's a few places you can get them.
So if anyone wants to come and have a chat with you about Health Matters in general and the scales, or they want to have a try, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can give me a call, 021 181 4349. You can email me, info@healthyeating.net.nz. You can look at the website, www.healthyeating.net.nz. Have a look around. And actually, on the Radio Kidnappers website, there's some links there as well.
Do you have an office that people can come on by, or do you prefer appointments?
You do need to make an appointment. I'm at 66 Munro Street in Napier. Give me a call or an email first, and we can book a time.
How long does an average first chat or consultation last? Is there a standard time that you like to have?
For adults, I always allow an hour, and sometimes it'll sneak over that, depending how many things, health issues people have got going on. For children, often half an hour is enough because they haven't got such a vast health history. So we can usually get through things a little bit quicker, and that usually suits them and parents a lot better than a full hour.
The whole history thing, I kind of didn't click in my brain about that. I would have assumed you just kind of do this now, but I guess you do need to know the person's history to know how to help
them
properly.
So what have they been vulnerable to in the past as a big part of it? How many illnesses have they had? Are they recurring a lot? Or is this a generally healthy person, but things aren't quite going the way they want now? So, there's a lot to it.
All sounds very interesting. So if you just say your number again, just in case anyone wants to give you a call.
Sure. Call me on 021 181 4349.
Awesome. It's been lovely having a chat with you, Philippa, and we'll see you again next month.
Thanks, Jill.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.